rah, rah, give me brains, brains, rah, rah, I want to eat your brains, rah, rah, rah,
rah. Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of the Jolly Heretic. Now, today I would like to talk about the issue of zombies, and specifically I would like to talk about the issue of why it is that zombie movies are so popular in the modern world. Indeed, they have been referred to as the only modern myth. Now, I was inspired to do this by a very interesting book called Zombies in Western Culture, A 21st Century Crisis by John Ravaik and his colleagues. And they basically look at the ways in which we would identify with zombies. It's quite sort of Jungian. I'm not sure about that. Well, my view that I want to set out here is that we are literally living through a zombie apocalypse, an awokalypse, if you like. We are the woke, and those that are able to be inculcated by the woke are the new zombies. And we are the survivor. We are the band of brothers. We are the survivors. We are the people from 28 days later that come together and try to rebuild society. And that's why we find zombie movies so popular. But first of all, I want to look at what they know, which is the fascinating point that the popularity of zombie movies has skyrocketed across the 20th and 21st centuries. So between 1920 and the year 2017, when they wrote their book, there have been 600 zombie movies made, but 300 of those were made between 2007 and 2017. Between 1980 and the year 2017, the number of zombie movies increased fivefold, it quintupled, and also not only that, but that went in parallel with the number of movies about apocalypses and dystopias and things like that. And what they want to understand is why are we attracted to the zombie movie? What is it that's so attractive about it, and particularly attractive in recent years? Now, as I say, they look at it in a kind of a symbolic way. They argue that firstly, what we are experiencing, to put it in the kind of terms that I use, an evolutionary mismatch. We're experiencing a world that is not the world we're supposed to be in. We're supposed to be in a world with people that are genetically similar to us. We're supposed to be in a world with the traditional sex roles to which we are evolved. We're supposed to be in a world with religion and certainty and a sense of the eternal, and all this sort of thing. And in our postmodern world, all of this has gone in favour of a world that is strange, that is unknown, that is peculiar. And so that's the first thing they look at, with the idea that the zombie represents the destruction of home, the destruction of where we live, and its takeover by these sort of evil forces. Indeed, it has displaced even the UFOs as the popular film. So it's the collapse of home, the collapse of the familiar, the collapse of what we know, because that's what you see in zombie movies. You see the collapse of the familiar, the collapse of what we know, the collapse of everything in favour of an apocalypse run by zombies. Secondly, you know, that we could identify with zombies because zombies are communal. I mean, they hang around together, but they're not really together. They're in company, but they're not really in company. And that's kind of true of us. So we're in this society, but we don't have strong bonds anymore. We don't have the strong bonds of religion and of place, and we're moving around. And so we're together, but we're in a sense lonely despite being together. And that's what zombies are like. There is a sense of hopelessness with zombies. They just sort of wander around, the undead, there's nothing, they don't live for anything in particular, they just act, they're automatons. And there's a degree to which, in the absence of religion, that's rather what we're like. We are these automatons that don't have any meaning to our lives and just kind of wander around. They eat brains. Now, what do we extrapolate from this, other than the fact that, well, their brains are destroyed, and perhaps it can be argued that our brains are destroyed, we just act, we consume, we don't really think anymore about profound things, we're materialistic, and in that sense our brains are destroyed, they're ugly, they have no soul. Do we have a soul? Our sense of religiosity and our own eternal importance has kind of gone. They're not evil, they're rather like rabid animals. Well, that's true of us, perhaps we might do evil things, but we do this not because it's our fault, but because we're in an evolutionary mismatch, and this makes us behave in a maladaptive way. The zombie doesn't really understand what's going on, and we don't really understand what's going on. We live in this incredibly complex society that's beyond the comprehension of most of us. We do these jobs where we're putting in data, and we don't really understand why we're doing it. And so the suggestion is that there is this whole symbolism to the zombie. We identify with the zombie. We like zombie movies, and we go and dress up as zombies and go on zombie walks and things like that because we're rather like the zombie. And so that's why we identify with them. Now, you've got this whole idea of the mindless, godless weirdo whose soul has been destroyed, and that's what we're like. Now, I mean, I think that's an interesting idea and it's an interesting analysis, but I'm not quite so sure about that. I think that a better way of understanding it is that on some level, we are humans are going to be adapted to pick up signals about the nature of their environment and the nature of their future. And they're also going to be adapted to want to practice and rehearse for that future in order that they can best survive the future. And that is what I think is going on. I think that we are picking up signals that we are increasingly surrounded by people who are extremely unhealthy. And these zombies are, of course, in things like 28 Days Later, as an example, the film 28 Days Later. You have that. That's the typical example of one of these zombie movies, that you have the a bunch of left-wing animal rights protesters. They break into a laboratory. They release the chimpanzees in the laboratory have been experimented on using a new disease called rage. This infects one of the female animal rights protesters is bitten. She becomes the first zombie with rage, and she therefore spreads rage throughout the population, and all of these people become these zombies infected with rage, these brain dead zombies. If they bite other people, they become zombies. That's what they're motivated to do. And you have a small number of people that are normal, that are not bitten, that survive, and they try and rebuild civilization in the wake of this apocalypse. That's how these things work. So the story is preparing you for something awful. It's preparing you for something that might happen. And perhaps the zombies, of course, particularly unhealthy. So we're picking up signals that we're surrounded by increasingly unhealthy people. We're picking up signals that we're surrounded by increasingly brainless people, people with no brain, low IQ people. We know from research I've done, if you look at my book, At Our Wit's End, that our IQ is going down, and it's likely to get down to about 85 by the end of the century, which is 15 points lower than now. And not only that, but we know that we are increasingly surrounded by people that want to destroy themselves and destroy us, as I'll look at in a minute. And that's why I think the zombie genre is popular, because it is what we're going through, and it's what we're aware that we're going to go through more in the future. So I want to compare it to fairy tales. And what do fairy tales do? Well, from an evolutionary psychological perspective, the purpose of a fairy tale is to take adaptive information and to convey it to a child in the form of a story, so that the child is more likely to absorb it and take it in. And it's been shown that if you convey information with fantasy and imaginary elements, then people are more likely to absorb the information than if you simply just tell them the information. And so what do these fairy tales do? They teach children to be scared of strangers. They teach children to be scared of the wild, the dark forest or whatever. They teach children to be scared of certain kinds of animal. And these fairy tales have been distilled over many generations to make them work optimally well, to make them optimally adaptive, so that children learn this information through the fairy tales and take this information into life. So that's the purpose, the evolutionary purpose of fairy tales. Now, a lot of anthropologists would agree that what myths are, really, is fairy tales for grown-ups. Myths take basically take adaptive information that will help you to survive. They turn that into a story so that you're more likely to imbibe it and take it in, and they teach it to you, and they pass it along across generations. And that's really what a lot of myths are. And so if something like, it's been suggested that the zombie is the only modern myth. It's incredibly popular, remember. It's the only modern myth. It's the only surviving myth. So what would make sense is if zombie movies are increasingly popular because they have mythological elements, they teach you something which is useful, i.e. how to survive when all of your people have been destroyed, and how to fight them off. Now, that's of course makes a great deal of sense in terms of ancient myths, because one of the evolutionary pressures was warfare. And so, of course, you could be in a situation where your entire group had been mostly wiped out and you had to survive in the face of an enemy surrounding group that had invaded. So you can see how myths about warfare would become popular. And so you can see that the zombie sort of goes into this. Indeed, it's been shown, if we want to understand why horror movies are popular, there's perhaps an evolutionary dimension to that as well. It's been shown that people that watch lots of horror movies are better able to cope with negative life events. and they people enjoy watching horror movies because it really they teach them how to cope with negative life events, and they inure them against negative feelings that might happen when those things happen. So they prepare them by watching horror movies. You're being prepared for bad things happening to you so that you can cope better when bad things do happen to you. And also you're being told solutions with regard to how to deal with things and survive when those bad things do happen. And so therefore it's adaptive for you to watch horror movies in the same way that you should therefore enjoy them, which people do. And in the same way it's adaptive for you to enjoy scary stories, or it's adaptive for you to enjoy the nastier kind of myths which you have in religiousness. So that may well be where the popularity of zombie movies comes from, because we on some level know that this is going to happen, and it prepares us for it, and it gives us solutions. This would be why the film Contagion was so widely watched during the beginning of the pandemic, because it prepared us for something awful, so we could better cope with it, and it gave us potential solutions on how to cope with these things when they did happen. So what I would like to suggest is that the zombie apocalypse movies are popular, and we want to watch them because we on some level are aware that a zombie apocalypse is going to happen to us, or is actually happening to us, and it prepares us for how to deal with it. It prepares us to cope with the negative feelings involved, and it prepares us with regard to how to survive. Now, why is that the case? Well, what is the nature of these zombies? Well, first of all, zombies are, the zombies come from among us. The zombies are not foreigners that have come into the land and invaded. The zombies come from among our people, but they have been infected with a virus, a physical virus, yes, but also a mind virus, which they can spread to other people and destroy them. And ultimately, they want to destroy their own people. They want to destroy humanity. That's what they are motivated to do. Now, does that remind you of anybody? Well, of course it does. It reminds you of the woke. We are living in a woke apocalypse. What do the woke want to do? Well, for the woke, first of all, they have a series of maladaptive desires. They are anti-natalists, so they literally advocate that people shouldn't have children. They are nihilistic. They advocate that life is pointless and futile, which will make people feel a sense of dysphoria and therefore make them not want to bother having children. They advocate the undermining of all traditional structures which have been maladaptive across history, and therefore they create such as male-female roles, such as the difference between child and adult, such as living with genetically similar people, such as wanting to indirectly pass on your genes by looking after the interests of your people, such as feeling that your people are the best, and all of these kinds of things, a positive and negative ethnocentrism, all of these things that have been shown to be adaptive, and they undermine those, creating a sense of dysphoria and creating a sense that life is pointless and you might as well not bother and you might as well not have children, and creating an evolutionary mismatch so that basically they send people mad and make them behave in a maladaptive kind of way and not pass on their genes. That is what the woke do. They tell you that you should put other people's before your own, thus damaging your genetic fitness. They tell you that you should put other species before your own, thus damaging your genetic fitness. They tell you you should feel guilty for simply for being of the group that you are, thus damaging your genetic fitness. That ultimately it is a gospel that is telling you to destroy yourself, and that because of its rabid focus on equality and harm avoidance, puts you in a huge evolutionary mismatch which you're not used to, and which makes everyone feel despondent and a sense of dysphoria, so they increasingly don't pass on their genes. Tells women to delay their fertility, so they damage their fitness, and so on and so on and so on. And so really what you're dealing with is a mind virus which destroys humanity, and some people are resistant to this mind virus. And the reason they are is because their adaptive desires towards things like that life has meaning, or towards religiousness, or towards a desire to have children and pass on their genes, are so strong and are so genetically built into them that they are resistant to the destructive environment which the woke people create. Now, we've looked before at theories as to how they have managed to create this. A good model, I would suggest, is the spiteful mutant model, i.e. we were under harsh Darwinian selection pressure until about 1800 in the Industrial Revolution. Then the selection pressure collapsed. We go from 50% child mortality to 1% child mortality. Those that would have died out under that child mortality regime would have been those who would have been high in mutational load and been subject to illness and whatever and died as children. They would have had mutations of the body. Those would have been comorbid with mutations of the mind, because the mind is 84% of the genome and thus a massive target for mutation. And therefore they would have had maladaptive ideas and maladaptive ways of thinking, such as depression, and it's been which goes together with nihilism and not wanting children and thinking life is pointless and not be, and this has been shown that it can spread throughout the population. If you're with someone that's depressed, it could make you depressed, and so therefore these maladaptive ideas spread throughout the population. And once about 25% of people have these maladaptive ideas, then the tipping point is reached and people move over to what they regard as the new way of doing things, and therefore it spreads massively very quickly throughout the population, and only the genetically highly resistant can resist it and carry on passing on their genes. And that's what's happening now. The only people that the two sets of people that are passing on their genes are those that are religious and conservative, highly religious and highly conservative, and those who simply have low intelligence and thus will, in a situation of where nobody really wants to have children, they will have them by accident, or they'll be inefficient users of contraception, or they'll be highly impulsive, and so they'll end up passing on their genes as well. That, perhaps, by the way, is, so you've got one zombie apocalypse of the woke people trying to destroy humanity and trying to ensure that nobody passes on their genes and that the humanity dies out. And you've got the concomitant zombie apocalypse of just very low IQ, aggressive, impulsive, irrational people. Two directions of a zombie apocalypse. And you've got the third one, which is, of course, that all of those people are going to be very high mutational load. They're going to be very ill. It's been shown that people that have left-wing views, of course, that correlates with being mentally ill. Probably because mental illness correlates with being an individualist, with a fast efficient strategist, or for whatever other reason. And so, or because it correlates with anxiety about absolutely everything, including about your own position, and therefore you're an individualist because you want everyone to be equal, because you feel bitterness very strongly, and because you feel negative feelings very strongly, whatever it is. And so we're picking up on these indicators that there is a rise in basically zombies. And those zombies are taking over. Those zombies are becoming the vast majority of Western populations. Those zombies are taking over the government. And so if we think back to the lifetime of our great-great-grandparents, they had to suffer. They didn't have to suffer the evolutionary mismatch that we suffer, that makes us want to not have children and makes us feel despair and makes us do maladaptive things. They had to suffer losing their children. They had to suffer the pain of child mortality. And that was the crucible of evolution. The crucible of evolution at that time was child mortality. Now the crucible of evolution is wokeness. And if you can survive the woke zombie apocalypse, if you can be resistant, that's what we have to suffer. That's what we have to go through. We have to go through this awful life. We have to where we suffer constant feelings of disgust and dysphoria and whatever because of wokeness. And if we can survive that and ignore that and get over that and pass on our genes anyway, then our genes will survive. So wokeness is the new child mortality. The other issue which we used to have to confront was warfare. We used to be under harsh conditions of group selection, in which groups battled it out for resources and invaded each other and all this kind of thing, and people were killed and so on. And it was the group that was the most high in positive and negative ethnocentrism and the most intelligent, that group would be the group that would survive under harsh Darwinian conditions. So basically we had warfare was the crucible of evolution. Now wokefare is the crucible of evolution. And if you can survive the battle of wokefare and the zombie apocalypse it induces, whereby the vast majority of people can be induced to varying degrees to behave in a maladaptive way that is against their individual interests, against their group interests, against their fitness interests, against their genetic interests. If you can survive that, if you can come up with ways of surviving that, if you can find other people like yourself, then you will survive the zombie apocalypse. And ultimately, all of these zombies will die off. Ultimately, these zombies, these people that are inculcated with these woke ideas and advocate these woke ideas, they tend not to have children. And so they will ultimately die off. and all you will be left with, as perhaps would occur with these zombie movies eventually, and then all you are left with is those that are highly, highly, or two groups of people, those that have very, very low IQ. That's the next zombie apocalypse. But of course, those people are going to be very unhealthy. But what you are then left with is people who are the survivors, who are highly intelligent and highly religious and will institute evolutionary pressures, group selection, and whatever, all over again. And those will be the survivors. And that's what of this apocalypse. And that's what a lot of us are. And so if you feel despondent, then realize that this is it. This is 28 days later. We are in a zombie apocalypse now. It is happening. That is why these zombie movies are so popular, because a zombie apocalypse is happening, and watching them is showing a mirror to us of what is happening to us now and what we have to do in order to survive the zombie apocalypse, which is just that we have to find each other, band together, fight against the zombies, and ultimately we will triumph and we will be the ones who survive. From this day to the ending of the world, but we in it shall be remembered. We few, we happy few, we band of brothers, for he today that sheds his blood with me shall be my brother, be he ne'er so vile, this day shall gentle his condition, and gentlemen in England now abed shall think themselves accursed they were not here, and hold their manhood cheap, whilst any speaks that fought with us against the woke zombies today! And goodbye.